Yeah, welcome. Hour number two, welcoming in Elliot Friedman here every Thursday. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Old Man Rivers here as well. What's up, Elliot? How are you today?
Not bad. How are you guys doing today?
Good. Quick. I'm good. I don't know about Craig. I don't want to speak for him. Go ahead.
Doing great, Elliot. I'm always doing great.
Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that, guys.
Quick question for you, sir. 31 thoughts this week?
I write the blog in the playoffs after each round. I can't get to it on a weekly basis.
That's just
Sorry, Petey. I apologize.
Yeah. Jeez. Okay. All right. Well, we got that. We'll look forward to that then in a couple of days here, Elliot. You're slacking on us here. but that's all right. So you said something when you came on the air right away. You said you think.
I think Tockett's interview in Buffalo is today. I think it's today. It's right around these days, but I think it's today.
Where are they doing these? Would they bring him here? Would they go somewhere else?
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Like, every team is different. They went down to Florida, right, to meet with the Pegulas last week. Yep. So I don't know if they're still there or where, if it's in Buffalo or where it is. Tockett's on a bit of a tour right now. I think he interviewed with the Rangers yesterday or the day before, and I think he's got Columbus coming up soon. So he's on a real, it's the Rick Tockett world tour, I guess.
Well, he'll land somewhere, won't he?
He's got a great reputation, man. He really has an excellent reputation.
So is there any reason to think that he could be the guy? Because I have this, and I don't know, Craig, how you feel, but I don't think it would be wrong to hire somebody else. I just don't think there's any reason to hire somebody else unless you feel you find an absolutely without question better candidate than Don Granato, or you're trying to maybe keep some of your core players around and continue to build in the direction with some of your veterans.
You know what? I think, like to me, the way I read it, is that I think if to do it like a horse race and we're in Triple Crown season right now, it seemed to me like Granato had a good inside track. And I think what Kevin Adams is out there to see is if somebody like kind of blows him away or beats him out for the job. That to me is the way I look at it in horse racing terms is, you know, Granato's the incumbent. They know him. They saw how he reacted and worked with some of their younger players. I think he's the favorite in the race, but it doesn't mean that.
Do you feel Rick Tockett could leave some kind of an impression, like a really good impression?
I do, because I think Rick Tockett's an impressive guy. You know, people around the league really like him. He's like, you guys know how many people who played with him or dealt with him didn't like him. The list is pretty low.
Rick Tockett, does he give the Sabres that kind of check mark of, hey, we've got a big name guy?
Well, does that matter? Like, to
me,
I think it does
matter to some.
Like, to me, the name doesn't matter. I mean, to me, it's, you know, do you think the person can do the job? I don't think the name should matter. I mean, to me, I don't know, maybe because I'm a 50-year-old hockey fan and grew up, like, Rick Tockett was a pretty big name to me. He was an impactful NHL player. He played on the 87 Canada Cup team, and he scored a huge goal in that series. Like, to me, he's a big name. But the other thing, the thing that I really like about Tockett is the greatest strength that he has, according to other people, is that he can reach the players that are difficult to reach. You know, Phil Kessel, for example. Nobody got more out of Phil Kessel than Rick Tockett did. And, you know, Kessel is a different guy. And if you're going to have him play for you, you need to reach him in a certain way. Rick Tockett had the ability to do that. You know, that's kind of the way I look at it, that we're dealing with a new generation of athletes that are very different than the one we grew up on, or even the group younger than us grew up on. And you have to know how to get to them. And that's his skill. I think that that's his ability. And it's not an insignificant ability in this day and age.
Instigators, Elliot Friedman joining us here, as he always does, Thursday at 11 o'clock. And Rick Tocchet was reported that he was going to be interviewing with the Sabres anyway, but Elliot believes it's today. So it'll be interesting to hear how that, do you know it's today, or you have a feeling it's today?
I had a couple of people say to me, they think it's today. So,
okay.
People are usually on top of things, but it's not like the Sabres are confirming anything, which I understand. So I can't say with 100% certainty.
Odds are they probably haven't confirmed any more on Jack Eichel's next situation, but I'm wondering if maybe you might know any more information on what avenue they're going to go.
Well, 3 more days, right? It ends in 3 more days. And I think everybody's trying to be
crossing off the calendar with a Sharpie.
I've got it's like a
call
nail.
Kevin Adams on after day 4.
That's right. It's like, how many more days do I have in prison? Like, just mark it on the wall. So they're trying to keep it really quiet because it's hot. It was hotter than they wanted it to be. So, obviously we'll see where we are in a couple of days. But from, the last I'd heard, which was just after everything kind of broke, nothing had really changed in terms of, what they wanted to do. So we'll see.
I feel so just kind of like I have to run the gauntlet of Sabre stuff with you, Elliot. And
that's fine.
But one of the questions that we're throwing around the Twitter poll today, it's at the Instigators on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go vote on it. And it's, will this be the most interesting offseason in Sabres history? Craig, do you want to just go through the line?
I can throw, yeah. So we have the list of NHL draft, NHL draft lottery. Where are we going to be picking? Currently, right now, we're picking number one with the 16th.
Wednesday, yep.
Mm-hmm. Then we have the NHL expansion draft. We will be losing somebody, but is there some sort of move that could be tinkered around so we don't lose maybe the player that we don't want to lose, or move on a player that we want to move on?
But Craig, here's my question. Like, how worried are you guys about the law, about the
not at all. Draft? Not at all.
Not at all. What if they walk away with Billy Borgen, Riv? Like, what do you mean not at all? Like
I think Bill Borgen's going to be protected. Yes.
Okay. Are you guys going 4-4 or are you guys going 7-3?
We're probably going to go, I would think, 7-3.
And we're going to try to get Skinner to waive his no move clause so we can protect somebody else. Is that allowed?
You can ask him. Absolutely.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Why wouldn't he? No one's going to take him anyway. So, you're just doing your team that you're currently on a favor because one's going to take him.
You see maybe a move happening there, Elliot? Like, do you see Buffalo saying, hey, you take Skinner, we'll give you, I don't know, prospect to name him. I don't know, Mittelstad or Ryan Johnson. Poor Ryan Johnson's been traded every year or every day with us, but he's a
former. It's going to cost you an awful lot.
Like it would cost you Sam Reinhart.
No.
I don't know. Like I think it costs you, well, put it this way. It costs you something that hurts.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're not going to do that because, it's been brought up about how Pittsburgh, asked Vegas to take Fleury, and here they are.
They worked out a deal.
Yeah, exactly. They worked out a deal to take Fleury, and they needed Fleury. But, that's what I was wondering. Like,
but Fleury was still, Fleury was still pretty good. Like, I know he'd struggled, but it wasn't. But also, he didn't have the contract that Skinner had. Like everybody's talking about Bobrovsky now too. Like, can you get Seattle to take Bobrovsky? Bobrovsky's owed $10 million a year. It's gonna hurt you to get them to do that. And who knows if they even want to do that? Like, one of the theories I'm hearing with Seattle, and I don't know if it's true, Ron Francis is pretty quiet, but they want to maintain their financial flexibility. It makes a lot of sense. I don't think they want to draft a kind of salary.
Pull that mic off your shirt.
Sorry, bud. They want to keep financial flexibility. I don't think they want to draft anywhere near the max.
Okay. So moving on, we have the NHL draft.
So moving on.
We have free agency.
Yep.
We have what's going to happen with Jack Eichel. What's going to happen with, number one, his surgery, which we'll kind of know a little bit more in a couple of days.
Yep.
Again, what happens beyond that? Is Jack a tradable piece? Is he coming back to our team next year? Trying to figure that out. Sam Reinhart is another one. Do you re-sign him? Do you play him at center? Do you re-sign him and play him at wing? Do you trade him because his value is so high, it's never been higher in the league? And what assets can you acquire? Same thing for Ristolainen. Is he a trade guy? Is he a stay guy? Then you have Linus Allmark. We do not have a goaltender. You have Carter Hutton, who will not be back. You have Linus Allmark, who is an unrestricted free agent. So he gets to do whatever he wants to do. He can test the market. And Buffalo right now is sitting with no NHL goaltender on the roster as of currently right now. So what's going to happen with Linus Allmark? Then who's going to be the head coach? The head coach is a big part of what we're trying to accomplish moving forward. And, you know, you have to find that right guy. What's going to happen with Rasmus Dahlin's contract? Do you sign him to a long-term contract? Do you sign him to a short-term contract? What's the numbers that he's going to be asking for? Does he deserve big numbers because he was drafted 3 years ago as the number one pick in the NHL draft? Or are you saying, you know what, let's slow down? And so
these are all questions we want you to answer right now, Elliot.
One, two, three, go.
Go.
Well, one of the things I do think when it comes to goaltending is, you know, you guys, we've talked about this before. I think you guys have looked at the Columbus guys for a long time. And I still think you guys might be looking there. Columbus has made it clear they're going to lose. They're going to move one of their goalies, right? Korpisalo or Merzlikins. I think you guys are very interested. It's just a matter of, I think there's a lot of teams interested. And can you beat out other teams for what it's going to cost to get them? I think you guys are in that with Columbus.
I'll take either one, but my edge will go to Elvis because he's got a little bit of personality there.
Oh, he sure does.
He's got a lot he's got a lot of personality, and I think fans here in Buffalo could really use that. So it brings us back to that. Like, I mean, I know Craig just mentioned a lot of things, Elliot, like a lot of things, but. Someone tweets in, they say it might not be the most interesting, but it's the most crucial offseason. Where do you stand on this with the Sabres and the status that they're in?
I don't think that's wrong. I think it's a hugely important offseason. There's a lot of, you know, I was looking last night at the TV ratings. Someone sent me the Sports Business Journal, had all the TV ratings of the US markets, and I think you guys were down 30% this year. And, you know, that's concerning because you guys are one of the best markets in the National Hockey League. You know, Buffalo loves its hockey, and you're one of the few markets that even when your team isn't playing, you guys watch hockey. So when I see the Sabres down 30% locally, I don't blame the fans. The team hasn't been successful. That's concerning to me. I think you have to fix that. You have to regain your momentum. And all of those things that Craig listed, those are hugely important. So I think the way you do this summer is critical for the long-term direction of the franchise. And I do think you're treating it as such. I think you're taking it very seriously.
Do you happen to have an idea or know what direction or path the team is planning on going?
I think there's a possibility that Eichel, Reinhart, and Ristolainen are all not back. And you go from there and you build.
Give me a percentage of probability
that all three are not back.
Yeah. If you say 50, we hang up.
I would say 50. I think it is 50-50.
Oh.
Because you know what? Like Eichel, I think is high. Reinhart, I think is high. I just don't know how to handicap Ristolainen.
Okay. Instigators WGR 550. What are you smiling?
But, so I'll say at? I'll say slightly higher than 50, but I admit I could be wrong.
What are you laughing at, Riv?
This is why we asked the Twitter poll question. Will this be the most interesting offseason in Sabres history? Because, you know, how many years, how many you don't have expansion drafts come every year. So we're going to be losing a player. And is there a way to wheel and deal and tinker around, you know, with that expansion team? And then we were last in the league this year. Okay. We weren't expected. We actually here in Buffalo thought that we had a team that possibly could, you know, fight for a playoff spot. And we knew it was going to be hard, but we didn't realize that we were going to be the last place team in the league this year. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to happen either.
Like we didn't know that Taylor Hall was going to forget how to play hockey. We didn't think that, you know, Eric Staal would actually look like he was aging out of the game. And, you know, Cody Eakin did not come as advertised. Like, I mean, there was a lot of things that did not go well. And then now that's put us last place in the league. So we're in a draft lottery that we're excited about again. Seems like we're in a draft lottery excitement every single year. And it's starting to get to the point where a number of years ago, it was super exciting. It was super exciting. Petey and I would do our draft simulator every day for the next month leading. And this year it was just like, yeah, I'm past the draft simulator.
Oh, contraire. I'm about to run one right now.
Craig, the whole time you were saying that, I was thinking the last time I was on, you were on the
hold on, hang tight, Riv. Here we go. In honor of your comment right there, and boom, or third. Okay, so he's right though. He's right.
Yeah, there's a fatigue. You want the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
So we've exhausted Riv. Unless you got one more Sabres thing, I want to move on.
No,
NHL stuff. Elliot, what's going on in Pittsburgh? I mean, your buddy Berkey there, and they have Ron Hextall, and 3 years in a row they're out in the first round. Clearly not Burke and Hextall's problem, you know. But my point is, what do they do now? They have Malkin with 1 year left on his deal, an aging Crosby who still performs at a high level, and Letang. Where does this team go? What do they do this offseason?
Well, a couple of things. I thought this one was a little different than some of their other more recent losses. I thought this one, the team was really good, and unfortunately, the goalie just wasn't. I believe that losses are bigger than just one person. I think, unfortunately, in this case, Jari just, like, Sorokin beat him. It's that simple. And, you know, so when I look at the Penguins, I'd be very careful about overreacting, because I do think in this particular series, it came down to the goaltending battle. You know, I'm not convinced Lemieux wants Malkin or Letang moved. I don't believe that's the case. Mm-hmm. I could always be proven wrong. I'm under the impression that he would like to see them retire as Penguins, and Crosby, has privately and again publicly last night kind of talked about how he wanted them to stay too. But the thing is, as you said, this is a results-oriented business. It's 3 years of a first-round loss. It is a new regime. I think all of these questions are going to be asked. But to me, at the very least, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a – you know, they tried to trade for Fleury this year, and it fell apart, but – would I be shocked if they went to Vegas again and said, you know, what are you thinking after this season? You know, I wouldn't even be surprised if they went to LA. Nobody knows Jonathan Quick better than Ron Hextall does. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they go and say, we're going to bring back Jari, but we're bringing in someone that can really make him uncomfortable, because this year proved that we need a lot more than what we have.
What's the contract situation with Jari?
Jari is, I believe, one more year. I will double check.
At what?
It's a very reasonable number.
3.5. So I guess, you know, again, anytime there's a situation with a goaltending.
Jari, excuse me, is two more years at 3.5.
Two more years.
Sign extension, yes.
So would a Linus Allmark be someone that the Pittsburgh Penguins would be interested in?
Yeah, but I don't know if like the thing about Fleury and the thing about Quick is, you know, they've got shorter term. Like Linus Allmark's not a 1 year deal. It's probably, I mean, in theory, I think Linus Allmark could make sense there. Yes, I think it's the kind of thing they would look at. But Fleury, I think, only has one more year under contract, bigger number, and Quick has one or two. And a 5.8-ish number, I think. I just wonder if they want someone that they won't have to give that much term to. And I don't like, I think Ullmark probably costs you more in terms of term and dollars more than those other two guys do. And I could see that not being as appealing to them.
You know what? You said something, it's not necessarily directly related to today's game, but you said something I thought was interesting about Lemieux and how he wanted Crosby and Malkin to retire as Penguins.
And Letang too, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
well,
I think so.
That's one thing I think is really cool about Mario Lemieux, is that every year he was always with the Penguins, and Steve Yzerman as well. Like, they never left, right? I always found that to be cool, that they spent such a long time with one franchise. And I wonder, and I've always kind of wondered this, because you know that Crosby lived with Lemieux, if maybe that's on Crosby's mind too, that he would just kind of, you know, Lemieux came back to play with Crosby when, you know, the organization was kind of in turnaround, right? And I just wonder if that does weigh on his mind. I always wonder how athletes think about that, or if Crosby would not care and he'd want to go somewhere else.
No, I think at times, like there's been rumors at times that he would like to, more recently, that he might want to go to Colorado and play with Nate MacKinnon. I don't know. Like at the end of the day, I think these guys want to win, right? And they want to be in situations where they think they can win. You know, I think the toughest thing is, look how competitive Crosby is. They've won one playoff round since their last cup. It's hard to win in this league. But the thing is, like, the one thing I think that helps them there is that they've, like I said, they've got two new executives, both of whom were impatient. Berkey, he wants to win yesterday, and Hextall actually is a little bit more patient, but you know how competitive he is. I think this offseason they're going to talk about putting their stamp on their team a little bit, and I'm curious to see what it is. But I would bet that ownership's vote is Crosby, Malkin, and Letang stay, and we have to do what we do around them.
Johnny T going to be back?
He's, like I said, he skated this morning, but I don't think that's a fast situation. I think that, you know, like I think that that's another little, a few days to a week before we start to think about him returning at the earliest.
Was there a knee injury in there too, we heard?
Yeah, well, they announced it. They said that he had a knee injury.
Is that when he fell back?
No, I think it was the knee-on-knee collision. They compared it to Zach Hyman's injury, and Hyman got hurt on a knee-on-knee with Edler. So what I believe, based on what they said, is if you watch the hit again, there was some initial contact with the knee of Sherrod, so I think it happened there. Riv, what do you think about Montreal?
I'll take Josh Anderson. Is that what you're asking?
No, I'm not asking you who to take off the roster. I'm asking you watching them right now.
That anytime you ask Craig about a team, he just picks a player that he knows he'd want to have on his roster and throws him.
I'll be better prepared for that next time.
Listen, I watched the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens, and right now you know the Toronto Maple Leafs are a team that has super elite high-end talent that's young and dynamic. They have players in between that are extremely hardworking, the Zach Hyman, the Kerfoot. Then they have these older veterans that all of a sudden are drinking the fountain of youth. Spezza is saucer passing and scoring goals, and Joe Thornton with his beard that looks like he's, you know, 90, is playing well, and they just seem to have something this year that I think is dangerous. Okay. And I just don't think right now that the Canadians have that extra offensive gear right now. They just don't have the offense to compete with the Toronto Maple Leafs.
You want to know the hardest part?
Brendan Gallagher is a great hockey player, but Brendan Gallagher right now, I know he came back from an injury, just does not look like Brendan Gallagher.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do agree with that.
And if you don't have your top guys going, you get a really hard time, you know, winning in this league.
This series, Elliot, was probably the series I was looking forward to most. Okay. Obviously the history behind the two teams and everything, but you know what? And this is an obvious statement, but I don't think we ever would have realized what a difference it was. But I have a really hard time going from watching, and I'm going to have a harder time tonight going from watching the Islanders fans last night and fans around the league and what the difference the fans make to this series where you have, you're playing in front of nobody.
Oh, I agree.
It's absolutely painful to, and knowing what those buildings would sound like.
Yeah.
If they had fans.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned that Islander game last night, that was incredible. And then to see them in the parking lot after the game singing Piano Man, it was awesome. I'm so jealous of that right now. We can't have that. I agree with you. It's limited the Toronto, Montreal, and the Winnipeg, Edmonton series. You know, unfortunately, right now, Winnipeg, that province of Manitoba, is ground zero for Corona in North America right now. So you can't have fans there, but it's a shame. It's a real shame because something's missing, no question.
I have two questions for you, Elliot. Okay. Number one, can anybody beat the Tampa Bay Lightning? That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is, who is your team coming out of the West?
Well, you know, Tampa, someone sent me a note last night. I think their payroll was like $30 million more than Florida's last night during that game.
Yes.
You know, like I don't get too crazy. I don't get too crazy at all about the whole cap circumvention thing. They've allowed it to happen. You can't just stop it now. I don't know. The one thing I think, Craig, with Tampa, if you're undisciplined and you take stupid penalties, they're going to kill you. The only way you can beat them is if you are incredibly disciplined and limit their power plays. That's the way I look at it.
Naming the area that they, I don't even know if you can call struggle. That name me.
No, they're good at everything.
Name me the worst part of their game.
Oh my God.
Exactly. They don't have one. They're stacked. Pre-game
buffet might be pretty limited. I don't know.
They're stacked. Their defense possibly could be the best six defense in the league. They have probably the best goaltender in Vasilevsky. And they just acquired Steve Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov, who are number one and number three in playoff scoring because those guys were on long-term IR all year.
Yeah. I think they're fantastic. I think they are.
It'd be tough to beat this team. And I'm going to tell you, Colorado. But the next part of that question, I was hoping that you would say Colorado, because what's going to happen with Nazem Kadri and his appeal? Do you think he's going to get a reduced sentence?
It's going to be a big challenge, Craig. It really is. You know, they're going to argue quite simply that he's been in trouble before and his last suspension was 5. And they're going to argue that he did a similar hit a couple of years ago to one of the Sedins in Toronto. I think it was Daniel. And he didn't get suspended because he hit him on the shoulder. And this one was in the head. And also, Falk was injured and couldn't come back in the series, even though the series didn't go very long. I think it's going to be a tough one. I think that's all he cares about is getting it dropped down to 5 or 6 games. But I think it's going to be a really tough one for him to win.
Elliot, we went a little longer than we normally do with you, and we thank you for the extended time. I didn't get to ask you the big Grand Slam question, no pun intended with Grand Slam.
But what's the big Grand Slam question?
Oh, you have time for that, do you?
Sure, I got
time. Well, I didn't know this until today, and I found it fascinating news, and I was going to bring it up in Things Craig Doesn't Care About. And that's a segment here on the show, Craig Won't Care About.
Yes.
I had no idea that A-Rod and J-Lo broke up and she's already back with Ben Affleck.
Yes. Yes. I'm big on the Hollywood gossip.
Are you really? How?
Really. Oh, I thought J-Lo was married to
A-Rod.
They were engaged. They were engaged.
Like, they're playing wiffle ball in the backyard, sending videos last year during quarantine. I mean, they're showing themselves snuggled up in snuggies. I mean, how does this go downhill so quickly?
Do you believe anything?
He's got to be more into himself than she is into herself for him to walk away from.
Do you believe that anything you see in Hollywood is real? Like, honestly, like, I think it's all performance.
Kardashians are not real, Elliot.
I think it's all performance art. Like, I don't think people out there in that industry love each other as much as they use each other, to be perfectly honest.
Ouch.
Are we seeing a new movie from Ben Affleck? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Hey, I can watch The Town all the time. It's a great
movie. Let's go.
It is, eh?
Love Big Ben.
The Town's one of the best. The Town's one of the best. Elliot, thanks for your time and the celebrity gossip. We appreciate it. we'll chat with you next Thursday. Yeah, thanks, Elliot. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Elliot Friedman joins us every Thursday at 11 o'clock. And yeah, tune in next Thursday, but don't go anywhere before that.
I can't wait to watch The Town.